Tumayo po tayong lahat as we read God's Word through responsive reading. Buksan po natin ang ating Biblia sa Hagay, Kabanata 2, Talata 10 hanggang 11. Babasahin po natin ito sa Magandang Balita Biblia. Matatagpuan ang passage na ito sa page 11 sa ating bulletins. Or you can read along the screen. Lahat po ng mga naka-underline na talata ay babasahin ng kongregasyon. And after ko basahin ang passage, sasabihin mga kaibigan, ito ang salita ng Diyos. Kayo po ay sasabihin, salamat sa Diyos. Noong 24 na araw ng 9 na buwan ng 2 taon ng paghahari ni Dario sa Persia, muling nagpahayag kay Hagay si Yahweh na makapangyarihan sa lahat. Halimbawa'y may dumampot ng isang piraso ng karneng itinalaga mula sa handog na inialay sa altar at ito'y binalot niya sa kanyang damit. Magiging banal din kaya ang mga pagkaing masalig ng kanyang damit tulad ng tinapay, ulam, alak, langis ng olibo at iba bang pagkain? Ang sagot ng mga pari ay, hindi. Kaugnay nito, sinabi ni Hagay, ganito rin ang kalagayan ng mga tao sa bansang ito, sa harapan ni Yahweh, pati na ang bunga ng kanilang mga gawain. Kaya nga't ang lahat ng handog nila ay sa altar ay marurumi. Inaasahan ninyong ang isang buntong trigo ay 200 kilo, ngunit yun pala ay 100 lamang. Akala ninyo'y 100 litrong alak ang masasalok sa imbakan, ngunit yun pala'y 40 lamang. Ngayon ay ikadalawamput-apat na araw ng 9 na buwan at ito ang araw na natapos ang pundasyon ng templo. Bantayan ninyo ang mga susunod na pangyayari. Mga kaibigan, ito ang salita ng Diyos. Please be seated.
Magandang gabi po, Crossroads Church. Nandyan pa po ba kayo? Kala ko sumama na kayong lahat dun sa labas. Good evening po. And magandang gabi din sa mga bisita po natin sa gabi pong ito. Ako po si Aaron, naglilingkod bilang isa sa mga pastoral assistants ng church na ito. Have you ever thought about the contagious power of dirt? Bakit po kaya it only takes one drop ng langis po ng makina ng sasakyan to contaminate yung pong 1 litro or 10 litro ng tubig? Habang hindi po kayang linisin or gawing drinkable ng 100 litrong tubig yung isa pong baso ng langis ng makina. Why is it, kami po na may mga bata sa bahay, why is it na kapag hinawakan po nung anak namin yung puting pader sa bahay, di ba? Meron pong fingerprint na maiiwan dun sa pader. Pero kahit gaano kalinis yung inyo pong kamay bilang mga magulang, kahit anong hawak po ninyo dun sa pader na yon, hindi po mawawala yung dumi dun sa puting pader. Well, the answer is that dirt is far more contagious than cleanliness. And the same inequality po is true in the moral realm as it is sa mundo po ng paglilinis ng bahay. At ito pong inequality na ito, and God's answer to this inequality is what the prophet Haggai is addressing dito po sa section ng ating pag-aaralan sa gabi pong ito. We are in our third week sa ating pong study ng book ng Haggai. And so far, we have learned na ito pong book na ito is written by Haggai. It's the message of God para po sa isang post-exilic people, meaning yung pong mga tao who came back from exile. In chapter 1, nabasa po natin that God instructs them. In fact, God chides them to rebuild yung pong temple and consider their ways. And nang makita po nila kung ano po yung nangyayari sa kanila pong mga buhay at bakit nangyayari yung mga nangyayari sa kanila. Last week in chapter 2, we saw that they had laid yung pong foundation ng temple, but it was not glorious as the first. Yet God instructed them to be strong, work, and to not fear. And then pinangako po ng Diyos that He will build His house and its glory will be greater than that of the first temple, and that from that place He will give His peace. Sa gabi pong ito, we will be looking at the third prophecy of Haggai sa kanya pong book. And this is our main point for tonight. Pretty straightforward. There are consequences in disobedience, so glorify God in your obedience. Simple po, hindi po ba? We're to glorify God sa ating pong pagsunod because if we don't obey God, meron pong consequence. We have two parts sa ating pong sermon tonight. Number one, God's object lesson for His people in verses 10 to 14. And second, yung pong pangako ng blessing ng Diyos from verses 15 hanggang 19. There is a lesson through two sets ng question and answer that we'll find in verses 10 hanggang 14. And then God's promise in the last part or the latter part ng ating pong text. Number one, God's object lesson for His people, verses 10 hanggang 14. Verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet. Let's stop there. Once again, katulad po nung naunang dalawang prophecy, we start with a date. Ang sabi po dito is the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year ni King Darius. In this case po, it is not a date na kung saan meron pong natural significance. Hindi katulad nung date natin last week when it tells us na ito po yung last days ng festival, which is yung Feast of Tabernacles. Ito pong date na ito sa third prophecy ay wala pong ganong klaseng significance in terms of festival calendar. However, kung babasahin po natin yung book ng Haggai, it is nonetheless the most prominent date dito po sa kanyang book. Why? Because ito pong date na ito has been repeated 3 times. We see that in verse 10, verse 18, and next week sa verse 20. Malalaman po natin yung pong fourth prophecy or message ng Panginoon also was given on the same day. Ito pong significance, perhaps, ng date na ito is something that we will find na na-mention po sa verse 18. It was the date nung pong formal na refounding ng temple. It was perhaps exactly 3 months since the people began rebuilding yung pong work on the temple. And bilang tugon po ng mga tao, dun po sa first prophecy ni Haggai. And also, it's interesting to note that yung pong kanyang contemporary na prophet, si Zechariah, had already been prophesying for about a month as well from this time ng third prophecy ni Haggai. We'll see that in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1. Then verse 11 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law." Sa Old Testament Israel po, malaki po ang significance or ng role ng priest. Marami po silang functions nung panahon na yon. In addition, doon po sa kanilang kilalang role, which is alam po natin na sila po yung mga nag-offer ng sacrifices sa temple or sa altar ng Diyos, they were also the guardians. Sila po yung exponents or interpreters, expositors ng law ng Diyos. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 10. But here in the absence ng widespread general access sa written law, trabaho po ng priest to know what the law says. If you're familiar with our Old Testament, merong mga panahon tayong mababasa na yung pong copy ng God's law has been lost, hindi po ba? Now, all of a sudden, here comes Josiah or Jeconiah finding from the rubbles of their properties ng temple na merong all of a sudden scroll. And they learn na meron pong sinasabi ang Diyos. And so in the absence nung pong written law, it's the priest's job to know what the law says. And of course, yung pong implication ng law ng Diyos sa buhay ng isang Israelite. And yung pong response ng priest dun po sa tanong ni Haggai is a kind of an authoritative legal opinion. Ito po yung isang bagay that perhaps Haggai is trying to elicit from the priests. Ito pong legal function ng mga priest ay central sa buhay po ng people of Israel. It is essential dun po sa task ng isang prophet to deliver yung pong word ng Diyos. It's as central as the function ng isa pong elder to give good counsel. And so yung pong role ng priest bilang adjudicator ng law is also central sa life ng Israel. And it was also crucial dun po sa moral health ng people of God that ito pong mga priest na ito should be faithful dun sa kanilang task. Because kung hindi po nila gagawin yon, there would be cases na kung saan yung pong mga tao would not know what the right thing to do is, or perhaps they would stumble into sin. That's why it's very important for the priest to know what the law says and to give the right interpretation of that law. Ito po yung indictment ni Ezekiel dun po sa mga priest nung panahon niya. Listen to what Ezekiel says in chapter 22, verse 26. Na instead po na ituro nila yung law ng Diyos, this is what they did. They have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common, neither have they taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. To which unclean and unclean, holy and profane, ito po yung issue dito po sa third prophecy ni Haggai. Verse 12. This is the question. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? Nagiging banal po ba yung mga tinamaan na yon ng kanilang garment that carries holy meat? And yung sagot po ng priest, they said, no. 13. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, bread, stew, wine, oil, or any kind of food, for that matter, does it become unclean? And of course, the priest answered and said, it does become unclean. So ito pong case na ito that Haggai posed to the priest para sa kanila pong determination was a straightforward question or case. It involves isa pong tao who carries consecrated meat dun po sa corner ng kanyang garment. Ito pong meat na ito would probably have been consecrated bilang part ng offering sa altar in a ritual sacrifice. Now, depending po sa kung anong klase ng ritual or sacrifice, yung pong kabuuan ng animal was not necessarily offered as sacrifice. Let me explain. Meron pong mga sacrifices, katulad ng burnt offering, na kung saan the whole of the animal is burnt. Sabihin, wala pong itatapon, wala pong iuuwi, walang kakainin. All of the animal is burnt. We see that from Leviticus chapter 1, verses 3 hanggang 9. Meron naman pong ibang mga sacrifices, katulad po ng sin offering or guilt offering, na kung saan part po ng sacrifice or part po ng animal ay binibigay sa priest. Okay? So, merong sacrifice na kung saan buong animal ang susunugin. Meron pong sacrifice such as guilt offering and sin offering na kung saan part ng animal ay ibibigay sa priest. At ito po ay kanilang kakainin. Kakainin po ng mga priest yon. Pero, yung pong mga priest na yon, of course, alam natin, sila po ay nandun lang sa temple, sa holy place, hindi po ba? They are the ones serving dun sa temple ng Diyos. And so, kakainin po nila yon inside the holy place. In short, hindi po yun aalis sa temple. Alright? So, none of those cases would fit yung pong sitwasyon na binabanggit ni Haggai na kung saan may isang tao na dadadala po niya yung karne sa kanyang damit. But, meron pong situation na kung saan meron pong tinatawag na fellowship offering. And this is something different. Dito po sa case na ito, in addition dun po sa meat na or yung part ng sacrifice na ibibigay sa priest, meron din pong part ng sacrifice na ibibigay dun sa nag-offer. Okay? Ito po ay binabalik dun sa nag-offer bilang isang celebratory meal nung pong nag-sacrifice. It's as if yung sense po nun is I bring my sacrifice to the temple, the priest takes part of it, some part of it gets burnt, and some part of it I take home. In a sense, God, the priest, and myself eats it together. That's why meron pong fellowship meal na tinatawag. And it's also the same case dun po sa free will offering. Okay? Walang involved na sin, walang involved na guilt. I just want na ibigay sa Panginoon because I have been blessed by God. I have a free will offering, so to speak. And so, ito pong free will offering na ito ay resulta perhaps ng kanilang vow sa Panginoon that they wanted to fulfill. Or yun nga pong sinabi ko kanina is a free will offering. And ito pong karne na ito na iuuwi or kukunin nung pong nag-offer, ito pong meat na ito did not even have to be eaten on the same day. Kung in-offer niya ngayong araw, pwede po niyang kainin at kung hindi niya naubos, he could still eat it tomorrow. Pero hindi na po pwedeng umabot sa isang araw. Dapat po yung itapon na or sunugin na. So you have from today until tomorrow to eat yung pong leftover. We see that in Leviticus chapter 7 verses 16 hanggang 17. And so ito pong scenario na ini-envision or binabanggit dito ni Haggai is a person carrying some leftover sa kanya pong fellowship offering in the corner of his garment. Simply because wala pa pong bulsa nung panahon na yun. Di ba? They have their long robes and hems and so iaangat po nila yun, ilalagay yung karne dun sa kanilang damit and yun po yung kanilang daladala. Wala pa pong pickpocket nung panahon na yun kasi wala pa pong pocket. Now the question that Haggai asked concerned what happens kung yung pong laylayan or yung pong fold ng damit na yon would touch a neutral object such as yung pong mga binanggit na food items. Yung bang mga pagkain na tinamaan ng kanyang damit na may dadalang holy meat, consecrated meat, would they become holy. Yung pong question na yon is not directly answered in the written law. Wala pong direct na sagot. But, yung pong matter of consecrated meat touching unclean items, okay, hindi po neutral items, touching unclean items ay binabanggit po sa Leviticus chapter 7 verse 19. Sabi po dyan, flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten, it shall be burnt up with fire. And perhaps yung pong answer na natanggap po ni Haggai from the priests was probably based dun po sa implicit logic ng text. Wala pong binanggit na kung dumikit ito sa isang holy, yung neutral, yung holy consecrated thing ay dumikit sa isang neutral na bagay, wala pong sinabi that yung pong neutral na bagay becomes holy. But if an unclean thing dumikit sa isang kahit anong bagay, holy or neutral, it becomes unclean. Now, meron pong mga bagay or meron pong mga passages in the Old Testament na kung saan holiness is potentially contagious by touch. Huh. Meron pong mga passages, I just want to make clear, na kung saan holiness or being consecrated ay contagious kapag po nahawakan. You just write this down. Exodus chapter 29:37. Chapter 30, verse 29, and Ezekiel 44, verse 19. Pero yung pong holiness na yon is not necessarily transmitted indiscriminately. Okay? Hindi po ibig sabihin na meron kang daladalang holy na bagay at pinagpapapahid nyo po sa lahat ng nakikita nyo, ay magiging holy na po yon. It doesn't mean na it's transmitted indiscriminately. In a direct contact between the holy and the unclean, however, kapag nag-contact po yung holy na bagay at isang unclean na bagay, yung pong unclean pollutes the holy. It defiles the holy. Hindi po nag-transfer yung holiness dun sa unclean. Thus, although the consecrated object will not necessarily transfer holiness sa isa pong neutral na bagay, something that is unclean will necessarily infect whatever it touches. And moreover, yung pong tao who has become unclean ay hindi po dapat payagan na magkaroon ng contact sa mga consecrated or holy na pagkain. Because yung pong mga holy things na yun would also become defiled. We see that in Leviticus chapter 7 verse 21. And if anyone touches an unclean thing, whether human uncleanness or an unclean beast or any unclean detestable creature, and then eats some flesh from the sacrifice, holy, sacrifice of the Lord's peace offerings, that person shall be cut off from his people. Pero ito pong tanong ni Haggai ay hindi po siya interesado sa isang academic discussion about holiness, cleanness, uncleanness, or neutrality. Yung goal po niya is not simply to establish yung pong mga details ng theological case studies na ito as an end to themselves. He was not interested in determining how much knowledge meron po itong mga priests na ito about the law. Rather, yung goal po niya dito was to use ito pong relatively self-evident ruling upang i-address po yung very practical issues that faced ito pong post-exilic people of Israel. Verse 14. Then Haggai answered and said, "So is it with this people. And with this nation before me, declares the Lord. And so with every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean." What Haggai is saying is that this people had become defiled. Sila po ay unclean. And bilang consequence sa kanila pong pagiging defiled, whatever they bring, whatever they offer, whatever they sacrifice, literally whatever they touch, also becomes defiled. Look at the language of Haggai. Every work of their hands. Ito pong every work of this hand or of their hands dito in this context refers specifically dun po sa kanilang agricultural produce na nakita po natin sa Haggai chapter 1. Again, while holiness cannot be transferred, sin among people renders yung kanila pong worship, yung kanila pong sacrifices, yung kanila pong offerings to be unacceptable and defiled. And it results dun po sa lack ng blessing ng Diyos sa kanila. What happens is they had been bringing yung kanila pong mga animals na kanila pong perhaps pinalaki. They are rearing ito pong mga hayop na ito to be offered as sacrifices before the altar. But it had all been worthless. Because they themselves were unclean. Their offerings were defiled by contact with them. And therefore, they have become unacceptable before God. They must themselves first be changed before their offerings could be accepted by God. Which surprisingly, sa second half ng passage, God gives us, or at least gives them, a promise for the people. Point number two, God's promise of blessing to His people. Verse 15, now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail. Yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Yung pong mga events nung araw na ito, nung pong 24th day of the 9th month, would mark a significant change before sa kanila pong standing before God. They were to watch yung pong change in their circumstances unfold and reflect dito po sa turning point na ito. The day when the stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord. As Haggai chapter 2 verse 18 makes it clear, ito pong date na ito, this dated turning point, is not the beginning, hindi po ito yung simula ng kanilang rebuilding work in an absolute sense, we have come to understand that, but the formal ceremonial laying of the foundation stone. Maalala po natin, ito pong rebuilding work had begun back in 538 BC under Cyrus, hindi po ba? And as I've said, we are at 520 BC. That's 18 years back nung nagsimula po silang mag-rebuild. We see that in Ezra chapter 3 verse 10. But soon as they came back from exile, nagsimula po silang mag-rebuild, but meron pong opposition that happens from those around Judah, and so they discontinued yung kanila pong pag-rebuild. But now at Haggai's urging, a new start marked by a formal foundation laying ceremony. In the past po, before ito pong araw na ito, before this crucial day of formally restarting ito pong kanilang construction program, the people had been experiencing the full weight of covenant curses. Alala niyo po yung pinag-usapan natin last time? Ito pong fields which promised so much returned little dun po sa kanilang harvest time. The wine presses that seemed so full actually delivered very little. Hindi lang po ito fluctuations or mood swings ng wind and weather, but it was the direct result ng judgment ng Diyos sa kanila. Sabi sa verse 17, we have scorching wind and grain mildew. Ito pong dalawang bagay na ito were two covenant curses threatened by God sa Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 22, which says, "The Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation and fiery heat, and with drought, and with blight, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish." And the same pair ay part po ng judgment ng Diyos that He has enacted dun po sa mga unfaithful people in Amos chapter 4, verse 9. This is what it says. "I struck you with blight and mildew. Your many gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees, the locusts devoured, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord." Yun namang pong hail or umuulan ng yelo likewise frequently appears in the Old Testament as a mark of divine judgment. Now, they had been experiencing ito pong discipline ng Diyos. But as in the time of Amos, sa binasa po natin kanina, yung pong imposition nitong mga covenant curses by God ay hindi po nagbunga ng repentance sa mga tao. On the contrary, as what chapter 2 verse 17 tells us, "They did not return to me," declares the Lord. Mga kapatid, we do not want to be working against God. And at the same time, we don't want God to be working against us. There is not really anything worse than that. If things seem to be stacked against you, then we should be evaluating if there may be sin in our lives that has not been dealt with. Of course, hindi po lahat ng pagsubok na kinakaharap natin ay direct result ng sin. Perhaps meron pong testing, merong trials na dinadala ang Diyos for us to develop sa ating pong faith. But some may be directly related with sin. And so it needs careful prayer and reflection to discern kung yung ating pong na-experience ay results of sin or not. The same call that Haggai tells us in verse 18. "Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider. Is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you." From this point on, yung pong point na kung saan they were rebuild, yung pong rebuilding work was formally restarted, things would change. Yung pong grain pit na sinasabi dyan, or yung pong barn, was the place na kung saan yung pong grain ay ini-store both for food and for sowing sa kanila pong susunod na pagtatanim. The answer dun po sa question ni Haggai, is there still seed in the grain pit or is the seed yet in the barn? The answer to that question is no. Yung pong seed for next year has already by this time ay naitanim na po. Though it is far too soon to predict kung ano po yung magiging outcome ng kanilang labors. But the prophet is encouraging yung pong people during this anxious period of waiting to see whether there would be better harvest next year. Yung po yung point. Hindi po katulad nung mga nakaraan. Because from this day, consider from this day onward, and then God promised, "I will bless you. There will be a dramatic transformation sa kanila pong fortune from curse to blessing now that the rebuilding work on the house of the Lord has resumed. Whereas, doon po sa mga nakalipas, the vine, the fig, the pomegranate, and the olive tree, these four things are the key fruit-bearing trees. These things have not returned a good harvest, but from now on, the Lord's blessing will be evident sa kanila pong fruitfulness. All of these blessings will flow out of or out from the re-established temple. In fact, it's simply the working out of God's declaration. Dun po sa verse 9 last week na tinignan natin, in this place, I will establish peace. Shalom. Yung pong fullness. If we obey God, He will bless us. Ulitin ko po. If you obey God, He will bless you. Pero ito pong form ng blessing that could be is different than that sa Old Testament. I just want to make that clear. Sa panahon po ng Old Testament, God blessed the Israelites materially based on their fruitfulness ng kanilang crops, yung lusog po ng kanila pong mga agriculture o ng kanilang mga inaalagaang mga hayop. Blessing nung panahon pong yon was often physical blessing. These tangibly showed yung pong mga nakapalibot na nation sa Israel, yung pong result when God's people would serve Him and thereby attracting these nations to serve God. But now that we are under the new covenant, yung blessings pong ito are generally spiritual. Of course, God can and God does bless His people financially, diba? And with good health. Pero hindi po ito yung promise. And yung pong kawalan ng material blessing ay hindi po indicator of God's displeasure sa panahon po natin ngayon, katulad ng Old Testament times. Hindi po porke lagi kang may sakit or wala kang pera, you would say na iniwanan ka ng Diyos. Eh, ano na lang po kami? Walang-wala. So, physical and material things ay hindi po indications. Perhaps in the Old Testament, yes. For the benefit ng Israel at ng kanilang witness and testimony to the surrounding nations. Yung pong Old Testament categories of ceremonial cleanliness and holiness are not primarily indicators of moral achievement. But they are indicators of status. Yung pong bagay that is ceremonially clean, and especially that which was holy, was fit to be in the presence of God. Kaya po siya nandun sa temple. That which was unclean could not approach a holy God without the danger na siya po ay matupok right there and then. Morality can certainly have an impact on status, but it's only in one direction. Ibig mong sabihin, that which is holy can easily be profaned through contact sa isa pong bagay that is defiled. But morality can never make the defiled holy. Sa panahon pong ito ni Haggai, people continued to bring offerings in the shape of various types of agricultural produce to the ruins ng temple, hoping to influence God to bless them. Yet according kay Haggai, ito pong mga religious exercises na ito, even those that are prescribed by God in His Word, they were totally worthless because the offering of defiled hands is itself defiled and therefore cannot and will not be accepted by a holy God. A good work can never make a sinner right with God. On the contrary, a sinner will necessarily corrupt any good work that his hands would turn to. Kahit na po he prays to the true God, he sins because the motives of his heart are corrupt. And corrupt motivation trumps the otherwise good act. Ito pong truth na ito faces us with a dilemma. Katulad po ng mga tao sa panahon po ni Haggai. The basic problem which they had and we also have is that we are defiled by sin. Every one of us has been affected by Adam's first sin. And as soon as we are born, sin comes naturally to us. Hindi lang po ito caused by peers. Hindi lang po ito basta-basta dahil yun po yung klase ng pamilya na kinalakihan natin. Our problem lies with the fact that we are born with hearts that are corrupt, indeed corrupt to the core of our beings. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? We needed to be made right with God if we are to experience yung pong kanyang blessing and not sink forever under his curse. And yet, religion, even true religion, cannot bridge the gap. God cannot simply come alongside us, antulungan po tayo, and he would help us as we help ourselves because we are defiled and God is holy. Yung pong ating salvation must necessarily come from outside of us. And that is an act of God alone. And ito pong radical plan of salvation that Haggai announces to his hearers, na kung saan yung kanila pong circumstances will not be transformed by a slow process of moral improvement, but rather through God's decision to act to give peace to his people through dwelling with them, which is symbolized by the rebuilding of the temple. Ito pong work na ito was now begun and the result would be new life, shalom in its fullness from then on. A radical change from curse to blessing had taken place on that day as God once again dwelt in their midst. Although yung pong mga effects ng change na ito ay hindi kaagad-agad visible sa mga tao na nakakarinig dun sa prophecy ni Haggai, sa kanila pong agricultural fruitfulness, katulad sinabi kanina, they have to wait for some time to see yung pong effects ng blessing na yun ng Panginoon, there was a lot more at stake here than having enough food to eat. Ito pong material blessings, like I've said, yung pong material blessings of the Old Covenant were always symbolic of the deeper spiritual blessings that flow from a relationship with God. And these two come to us not through a slow process of moral improvement, na kung saan sinusubukan po natin sa ating sarili, we try our best to make ourselves fit to live with God. But rather, through the dramatic and decisive work of God alone. Katulad po ng reestablishment ng temple, it was the crucial turning point for the people of Haggai's day. And so, the coming of Christ, the definitive temple of God, as seen in our previous studies, is yung pong radical turning point from curse to blessing for the world. That's why we say, joy to the world. The Lord has come. God with us. With the coming of Christ into the world, now there is peace on earth among those on whom God's favor rests. But sadly, many of those to whom Christ came would not receive yung pong peace that Christ offers. In Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 42, it says, when he, Jesus, drew near and saw the city of Jerusalem, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Yung kanila pong inability to recognize the one to whom the temple pointed, the one in whom peace with God was truly to be found, would indeed cost them dearly. They would experience yung pong return to a dark days of Jerusalem's destruction. Yung pong binasa natin kanina, the stones upon stone ng temple rebuilt dito po sa Haggai chapter 2 would become no stone upon stone of the temple destroyed in Luke chapter 19 verse 44. Jesus came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. Yet some, praise God, did receive him. And along with him, yung pong blessings that flow from relationship with God. They discovered that to receive Christ was to be reborn as a child of God. Just as the coming of Jesus Christ dito po sa mundo was a radical turning point in redemptive history, so also coming to Christ is a radical turning point sa buhay ng isa pong mananampalataya ng Diyos. From the moment that the person is in Christ, everything has changed. The one who believes in Christ is nothing less than a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Believers are no longer children of God's wrath as we all once were. Now we are raised with Christ and seated with Him in the heavenly places. Before we came to Christ, everything we did was defiled in the sight of God. Even yung pong ating righteous acts were like filthy rags, unable to be admitted into God's presence because of their defiling power. But now we have become God's workmanship in Christ Jesus for good works. By grace, we have been saved and enabled for the first time to do works that are genuinely good in God's sight. Lahat po na meron tayo, even our sanctification, comes from God's free gift of salvation in Christ. Hindi po bunga ng ating hard work. And if you want to experience this, the response that we should have is to repent of our sins and put our faith in Christ. If you want to know more about that, you can speak to the person beside you and they'd be happy to tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, it is fitting then that Jesus, that God should receive all the praise and the glory for what He has done. And let us remember that there are consequences in our disobedience. So let us glorify God in our obedience. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the work of Jesus Christ. The work that He has done on our behalf. Us, whom You have given the gift of faith and repentance, to put our trust in Him and to repent of our sins. It's only through Christ that we are accepted. It's only through Christ that our works are glorifying to You. So, Father, remind us time and time again that everything we have
is because of Christ. And to Him, through Him, and for Him, we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, Amen.